Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday. We say hello now to Jonathan Hutton. Outkick 360 joins us every Monday, usually at 10:30, but moving up 30 minutes today. The Titans are going to have some media availability coming up at the bottom of the hour as well, so looking forward to that. And Hutton is presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, luxury redefined. Hut, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you guys are. Hey, Michelle.
Morning.
Yeah, we're good. Just, you know, decompressing all this basketball that we've taken
in. I'm not doing well.
Yeah, she's not doing well over that. I'm
sure yes.
Chad is going to take his victory lap today with the Vols, but that's okay. He deserves it. Let's start, though, with the Titans. Kevin Byard, I think you and I, and Michelle knows this too, being around this team, obviously you and I are MTSU guys.
Yes.
What he means to that program, but what he means to the Titans, I'm insulted for him that they would ask him to take a pay cut if that is in fact true. And if they cut him, to me, even though he's a safety, he's almost 30 years old, you can make all that, you know, what it is. He is a absolute leader in that locker room, and in the not only the mayor of Murfreesboro, but the mayor of the Tennessee Titans. I think that would be a huge mistake if they were to let him go.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't think they want to. Byard's camp has said that he hasn't asked for his release, and that was through Tehran, I believe. And Chase, you could correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Was.
But in knowing that, there is some. You know, they're trying to free up space, but normally in this situation, you restructure. And if you take a quote unquote pay cut for the season, where I believe he counts $19 million against the cap this year, you give him more money up front on a contract that's restructured, you just shift the money around. And it doesn't sound like that's what was going on here. And, you know, all the reporting on this has been accurate based on where the Titans are in the cap and the fact that, you know, Byard, what, certainly wants to. Everyone was tweeting it at the exact same time. Byard wants to remain a Titan. He wants to retire with the Tennessee Titans. But normally the NFL careers don't always work out that way. But here's where it should work out for Kevin Byard in Tennessee. 108 tackles last season, 4 interceptions. He played in those 17 games. He's never missed a game in his NFL career. And we have seen him as a first-team All-Pro and a Pro Bowler in 2017 and then again in 21. So in thinking about where he was in 2017, where he led the league in interceptions, that was his second season, and how he progressed back to a level that's not just a leader, but a productive leader for this Titans defense. I don't see how they make a move without going to someone else first. And that someone else first is Ryan Tannehill. Byard has the second heaviest cap hit right now on the Titans roster, and it's behind Tannehill by nearly double. So I'm thinking the quarterback could also take a restructuring, but again, you have to have some cash up front. And I think the low number of years on these contracts and the type of money we're talking about, where it's not that much against the cap with the new guys they've brought in, that signals that what they're doing is trying to provide value to the roster without going out and breaking the bank. And they still have to pay Jeffrey Simmons as well.
How much of this, Jonathan, is, you know, just watching the cap and you know, trying to, you know, in these free agent signings that they made, I think have been, I like them. I think they've been cost effective. But how much of this is the organization, you know, trying to set cash aside, knowing that they're going to be contributing towards a stadium here in the next few years? And how much of it is Amy Adams Strunk is showing a little bit of the stuff her father used to do and maybe being a little too frugal?
Well, I won't go that far. She's not Bud. Bud paid a little over $200 million for the land and the stadium when he moved the team here. And Amy and the ownership group, including Kenneth and Amy Adams as well, they've liquidated roughly $700 million. To go towards the stadium. Still public funding is taking place there. But in an NFL, so the cap as a whole, I believe, is a great thing for the NFL, where every team believes this time of year you have a shot. But there still are the haves and the have-nots. And where it separates is on the money that you can put down for escrow. where if you have a massive signing bonus or you have bonuses that are going to be paid off over roster bonuses over the course of the contract, you set that money aside in escrow. And that's what we saw with Haslam and Deshaun Watson, for instance. And whenever you're trying to liquidate assets in order to pay $700 million for a new stadium, I get where they're coming from on, hey, we can't go out and sign the $250 million fully guaranteed contract either, like some owners can. And it's, you know, it's less than, what, 10 owners probably that can do that and do both. There's not a Steve Cohen around every corner like the MLB has. So I tend to think, while we're talking billionaires, they are having to make sure that they get the most out of the assets they have available. And again, Chase, that's why if he's already factoring into the roster currently, there's no reason why Byard should be cut based on a $19 right. million dollar savings when you can go the quarterback route and move around and get a rookie if in fact you want to go on the cheap.
We got Jonathan Hutton on with us from Outkick 360. Jonathan, looking at the wide receiver room for this Tennessee Titans team right now, I mean, Treylon Burks is your number one wide receiver. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is your veteran receiver in that core group right now. How crucial do you think it is that the Tennessee Titans, whether they try to get somebody in free agency, which the free agency market for wide receivers isn't that great, or could you see them potentially making a trade for a veteran wide receiver out there?
I mean, the trade part is interesting, Michelle, because we don't know how aggressive Rand Carthon's going to be in that category. Robinson came in and started wheeling and dealing pretty quickly with Dorial Green-Beckham for Dennis Kelly, and then moved up to he had the number one pick, traded back, and then moved back up. And before you knew it, you were like, oh, okay, this guy is going to, you know, he's going to find value and he's going to move around with the draft capital and try to make a splash and get the best available player. And that can be in the veteran aspect as well, like, see Dennis Kelly. But the wide receiver pool right now, I think it's filled with some, a group of wide receivers that are kind of the same guy in many ways.
Yes.
So I don't think they have to rush in that area. I think they, in fact, I mean, while they may bring in a guy, right, I think they could go through the draft and see how it unfolds. And there's still maybe half of the same guy, you know, we're talking about in regards to the wide receivers that have been on the open market. I think you can still go back and find a guy that felt like he was going to try to get more money but didn't and came back to that neutral line, see a la Westbrook-Ikhine. So I think there's more versions of him there, but they have to make a splash in the draft. And it's imperative to go with the first name you mentioned. Treylon Burks needs a massive offseason. Came in out of shape, barely participated in the offseason work a year ago after the draft, pointed to asthma, and then had splashes of really nice play where injuries affected his playing time, which is not his fault, especially the concussion that he took in Philly. So he's got to be a guy that steps up and he's your number one. And from there, you fill in the holes with some young talent and maybe a veteran down the line.
How crucial, I mean, I know you just kind of touched on it, but how crucial is it that Treylon Burks has a huge offseason and is able to be the number one wide receiver for this Tennessee Titans team, especially with just all the frustrations watching this offense last year? Dontrell Hilliard was your leading, led the receivers in touchdowns, and he's a running back. How crucial is it for Treylon Burks to be your number one, or if the Titans believe he can't be, them to go get somebody who can be a number one wide receiver?
Well, I mean, the reality is their best path is to try to win with Henry and with Tannehill and just eat those contracts this year. Restructure adjustments there could cost you potential cap space in the future. And I don't think there's a good argument to do that. And they have very little financial commitment beyond this season to those two, Tannehill and Henry. And that points now to Treylon Burks. They're hurt in two areas. There's not enough guys they drafted that they wanted to re-sign, meaning elite talent, or they just don't have enough players on those rookie deals. And the ones they do have, those guys have to be able to produce at a much higher rate than what they did a year ago. And Burks is at the top of the list. you trade away AJ Brown and you go with pick 16 and it's a wide receiver first round. I mean, there was five taken in the ahead of him, and Burks ends up being your guy. They need him to hit because he's very, I think he's a, he has the pure talent to be a number one, but he's got to prove it. We didn't see him take the field as a rookie the same way AJ did. And fair or not, that's exactly the comparison that he's going to face until he produces to a high level. And he's very capable of that. But it's a bit of an unknown because he got ready for the draft and then he wasn't ready for OTAs and minicamp. And that was alarming. So now it's time to come in ready to go. And he needs to be Tannehill's number one.
Hutton, a lot of questions still yet to be answered. But we know that it all comes in time. But appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah, always enjoy this. Thank you so much, guys.
Absolutely. Jonathan Hutton, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, luxury redefined. Coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, Henry, KB, or Tannehill? Could one of them actually be gone next year? I heard this question on Ask D-Mace. We'll discuss coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Mike Texan says, D-Mace, who is the most likely current Titan to be on a different team this year? Henry, Byard, or Tannehill?
Ooh.
Someone else.
God, a heavy question to come
that
in.
Is a good
heavy
one.
Question.
Coming in hot.
More than likely will be on another team sooner rather than later. Man, that's a tough one. I would say Derrick Henry. I think because of the depth that they have at running back, meaning Hassan Haskins, you know, I think they want to see what he can do. And this is a good time to see that because, you know, this is a team that many are not picking on. You know, we look at this team and we think, man, are they even going to win in an AFC South? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to make those transitions, then, you know, you need to do it now to see what you have going into the next following year. So if I'm picking a guy, as much as I hate saying it, I think it would be Derrick Henry.
Ask D-Mace, Fridays at 12:30, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Back here on Chase and Michelle. I heard that and was like, ooh, we got to discuss this because it's a tough question to ask for sure. The Titans have made their free agent signings official. Mm-hmm. Azeez Al-Shaair, Daniel Brunskill, Andre Dillard, Luke Gifford, and Arden Key. And they're going to have a media availability coming up in about 10 minutes as well with those guys. So we'll be looking forward to that. But how would you answer that question? 615-737-1025. Who is most likely to be gone this year between those three? Tannehill, Byard, Henry. D-May says Henry. Now, I don't know if I can agree with him on the depth at the running back position, but I think that's a position they got to address. But, you know, I think they hope that they have something, and I think that's what he meant. They hope that they have something in Hassan Haskins. But
uh-huh. And then obviously re-sign Hilliard.
Yeah, I think that'd be big for sure. But how would you answer that, Michelle?
It's a tough one, Chase, because, you know, my immediate answer would be, oh, well, it's got to be Ryan Tannehill, I think, personally, because, you know, he's on this big contract. Pretty much you'll be able to move off of him next year. But then I think, okay, could they try to get some value for a guy like Kevin Byard this year or Derrick Henry this year, especially since we've heard chatterings surrounding both of those two names in this offseason with a new general manager at the head, and we haven't heard anything surrounding Ryan Tannehill, essentially, which if you were to tell me this a couple months ago, I would be like, no way, it's easily Tannehill. I still think, though, I'm going to go with Tannehill because I think guys like Kevin Byard, say you move off of Tannehill next year and you go and you reset your quarterback clock and you draft a young quarterback, you want guys like Derrick Henry and like Kevin Byard to still be on your roster. Because look at the moves they've made right now. Okay, you're beefing up your offensive line. You've got Treylon Burks, a young wide receiver. Your defense is still pretty intact with some key guys on defense. That's including Kevin Byard. your best, I would say your best player on defense. Well, leader player on defense. Then you got Derrick Henry on your offense. I would say Ryan Tannehill because I think I could see it more right now. If they're kind of filling some of their holes this offseason, they're going to use the draft to fill some of their more of their holes that they have. And then the ability to move off Ryan Tannehill as far as his contract is a lot easier next year. Be able to move off of him, draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
I think that would be the most likely to happen.
But you're saying next year. I'm meaning right now, like this upcoming season. So you're saying you think it's more likely they move off of Tannehill next season?
Well, I think that they're all going to be on this team come this fall for this season. I'm saying the first player out of those three.
Okay.
I don't think it would be until next season.
I see what you're saying. Okay, so to answer in the spirit of the question, right now, unfortunately, I think it's Byard.
Yeah.
I disagree with it, and I think it. You know, I was texting with someone. I think it's insulting they would even ask him. He's done more than enough for that organization. He wants to be here. But I think they're at that phase where they think they can, you know, there's still maybe a little bit of that Patriot mentality, even though John Robinson's not here, that you can cut a guy, you know, before he's 30 and easily replace him. And look, and you know, looking at his cap hit, I get it, you know, from a financial standpoint, but as I said earlier, you know, you can't replace what he brings to the team in other areas. From a leadership standpoint, he still makes plays on the field. So that's obviously important.
I mean, just the fact that he's actually been able to be healthy for this team for his entire career, and we've seen the significant injuries in players not able to be available day to day to day, a lot of them too being in the secondary, which we saw this past year with Christian Fulton, Amani Hooker, Elijah Molden, right? Those are all guys that are kind of that next step below Byard of young guys coming up and trying to fill a bigger role. Well, three of them couldn't stay on the field last year. It was Kevin Byard and Roger McCreary, the rookie, who were the most consistent in the backfield for the Tennessee Titans team. So, you know, take everything away that Byard even is and just looking at it for what it is, that's the weakest part of your defense anyways. And he's not only a veteran leader, has proved he can be durable for you all. He's a Pro Bowler. He's a great safety, one of the top safeties in the league. I still personally think at the age he is right now, not the top, but one of the top. You know, he eats so clean. I remember last offseason, somebody asked a question like, Kevin, you look a little bit slimmer. And he's like, yeah, I'm on this new diet where basically I eat protein and vegetables and like took sugar out of my diet and everything. Like, that is a guy who eats, sleeps, committed, and breathes football. And the comments Mike Vrabel has made, he's not a 9-to-5 guy. Kevin Byard changes his life, his eating habits to make sure. And that's what you want for somebody. So, you know, I look at it from all the intangibles of leadership and what he's done and who he is, and he hasn't taken a step back as a player that you don't want to lose. And then I look at it, too, of, okay, who else do you have at that position that you can count on to be out there every single week?
Coming up next, are the Titans cheap? You know, a lot of people have said that, have used that phrase, because I'm going to ask a question in regards to all three of these players, plus we'll give you some notes of what's going on with the media availability. I will pass this along. John Fanta of Fox Sports says, quote, barring a change of heart at the last moment, Ed Cooley will be the next head coach at Georgetown. Sources tell Fox Sports. You brought that up earlier.
Providence coach currently.
Yeah. So what's interesting about that is Providence now looks like it's going to be open. Patino's been linked to St. John's, but could he go back to Providence where he kind of started, where everything started for him? That's been thrown out there on Twitter. I kind of feel like he's either going to stay put in Iona or he's going to go to St. John's.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's out on Iona. I think he will be the St. John's next coach, and I don't know if I could see him going to Providence, but I understand the link.
People are obviously going to connect that. But we'll talk more about the Titans coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What do you make about the Titans and the Byard thing?
I think they are coming across as incredibly cheap and also incredibly ungrateful.
Do you think this is even Carthon and Vrabel, like, hey, or do you think this is above Carthon?
Look, there's a great Don Draper line in Mad Men where Peggy Olson in the show is just complaining about not getting thanked enough and not being appreciated. And I think Don Draper says, well, that's what the money's for. That's why we pay you as much as we do. It's not for me to sit here and tell you how great you are. I buy that in pro sports, too. You know, I'm not one that's always going to be, oh, you know, you got to make the guy feel like he's welcome. And, you know, they pay Kevin Byard and gave him a contract for a lot of money because he's good and they like him. But I think it is different with Byard. You know, it's something about the local angle to it. He has been such a leader and a perfect citizen for this Titans organization and in this community that when you're going to him about doing something and then not willing to play ball, if they're, you know, trying to work out something more on the back end of it, it does come across to me as ungrateful. And I'm not usually one to go that way with management or a team and that, oh, they're being ungrateful to a guy. They pay him a lot of money. That's how they're grateful. But I do think this comes across as both cheap and ungrateful. And I'll say it again. If you're really interested in rebuilding and retooling and trying to do it as fast as possible, I think you got to go down quicker than what we've seen some teams in the league do, where they sort of fight against the current.
That was Chad Withrow Friday on Stillman & Company. Back here, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Titans players, the new ones, the free agents, have started talking to the media. Andre Dillard up first said that he's excited to be with the Titans, wanted a fresh start. But asking that question, and I thought that last line that Chad had was, you know, if they're going into a rebuild, they need to just do it and not this little bit at a time. And that's why I ask this question. And I know you have a text you want to read too.
Yes.
But I asked this one. If it was an easy process, if the Titans could just snap their fingers right now and move on from Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and Kevin Byard, do you think they would do it? Right now, today?
Yes.
I do too.
I think the anchor holding all of it is Ryan Tannehill's contract and Ryan Tannehill, because he's your quarterback, and the fact that they can't move off of him and that they are paying him what they are paying him, which actually looks cheap now in how the quarterback market has just changed and how it's gone up significantly. You're actually paying Ryan Tannehill not a lot compared to the rest of the quarterbacks around the league, but Ryan Tannehill is that contract that I believe is anchoring them to where they are right now, because I believe if they could get off Ryan Tannehill easily, then they would do exactly what Chad said, and they would try to quick rebuild. And whether you would have Malik Willis start, whether you would have Josh Dobbs, a transition guy or a bridge guy, but right now, I think it's Ryan Tannehill, because if you're paying him that and you have Ryan Tannehill on your team, you're signaling to the fan base, okay, we're still trying to win, and you're still paying these guys a lot of money to win. So I believe, if they could get off of them easily, they would.
I do too. I think that is their, maybe internally, their mindset, even though I don't believe Vrabel is on board with that. Everybody goes back to that. But you can also, if done correctly, and what would be done correctly is you have a top five pick next year, you can come back relatively quick from it. And you know, I mean, look at what
the Jags.
At the Jags. But what I was going to compare to the other team here, look at the Predators. I mean, they sold off a bunch of assets. They're still in the playoff hunt. I would say as the schedule gets harder, they're probably not going to make it. But you never know. But no matter what, they have 13 draft picks in this year's draft that they can use however they want, whether that's drafting actual players or using that as currency to, you know, fix up the roster. But so I think it gives you options, you know, if done correctly. It's just, what does Vrabel want to do? What is the mindset of Rand Carthon? Because that's the other thing. We've heard Rand Carthon speak twice.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know how he ticks yet. But to your point on the Tannehill contract, that is from, you know, J-Rob basically kicked some money down the road to make room for, to manipulate the cap.
Julio Jones.
To make room for Julio Jones. And at the time when he did it, I'm like, all right, cool, because you're in go for it mode. You're Bud Dupree. I mean, and they didn't work. You know what? What's funny is like now, everybody's blasting John Robinson for bad signings, and this is the reason that they're in the position they're in, which is true. Okay, fine, but at the time he made the signings, we're all like, oh, okay, all right, I like it. You know, now Julio Jones was a little, you know, had mixed reviews, but I was on board with it. You know, Bud Dupree, I thought was great. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy is going to get beat up if it doesn't work, and he's going to get praised if it does. And so now you have to decide how you want to try and fix it and get out of it. And it would appear that they're going, you know, on the cheap. Now, I do think sometimes this organization can come across that way as cheap. I do. But, you know, whether that's true or not, you know, I think you know, it's kind of the eye of the beholder there, mm-hmm. but it's open to interpretation. But that, you know, I think not to the level that Bud Adams was, but there are times where I'm just like saying to Kevin Byard, hey, dude, need you to take a pay cut. I'm like, really? That's a guy that, you know, just leave him alone.
Yeah. And I don't think I've been around this organization long enough to, you know, say they've historically been cheap. I definitely think asking Kevin Byard what was asked of him to cut his salary when he's essentially done everything right and everything that you've asked him to do, it comes off a little cheap in saying that, hey, you're not worth this. Because when you are talking about professional sports, when you're talking about any job, when somebody wants to cut your salary, it's saying, okay, you're not living up to this. You're not performing. You know, if I'm Kevin Byard, I think, okay, well, what else do I have to do then? I'm doing everything right above and beyond for this team. And Vrabel said that. Vrabel said that to us in the media. He said that, you know, we need more guys like Kevin Byard who are durable and Shane Bowen, right? Like, everybody talks about Kevin Byard and puts him up there on this pedestal because it's the way he leads, it's the way he acts, it's the way he thinks about the team outside of the facility. And Chris from Lewisburg, though, brings up an interesting question to us and says, everyone freaks out about Byard, Henry, etc. Don't you think that Rand Carthon owes it to himself to explore every possibility, no rock unturned? And I understand that. I do understand that, right? I mean, coming in as a new general manager, you can't allow anything from the past. You can't allow what the fans think to sway you into doing anything. And the fans love Kevin Byard. Everybody loves Kevin Byard. But if Rand Carthon, the new general manager, coming in and he can't allow any of these outside factors, who he needs to listen to is Vrabel and the other people around him. And obviously that was a conversation the two of them had for them to then approach Kevin Byard to ask him to do that.
Yeah, and to the texture's point, I mean, I agree, and I think not having connections to these guys can be a good thing when it comes to Rand Carthon and his evaluation of the roster. But, you know, you got to know too what the plan is, and I feel like, you know, to Chad Withrow's comment on Friday on Stillman and Company, it does kind of feel like they're not in full on rebuild. They're in that let's
weird
cut.
Middle.
Yeah, which is going to do you no good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're picking, let's say they do this and they, you know, they re-sign Jeffrey Simmons and the defense is still decent, you know, even without Byard, I still think they'd be pretty decent. You've added Arden Key as a pass rusher. And you're, instead of picking 11th this year, you're picking 9th. I mean, okay, top 10 pick, great.
Cool, but I mean, but if you need to get your franchise game changer guy, you're hoping you're in the top three, especially if you want a quarterback.
Correct. So I just that's kind of where I'm at. But I go back to my question. If they could do it, you know, easily and just cutting, I mean, yes, I guess they could cut all three and, you know, eat some money and then just move on. But that also, like, if I'm them, I'm like, well, I want to try and get something.
Of course, you want to get something out of these players, and you don't want a dead cap hit of over $13 million when you know that well, I could be paying $6 million and have him on my team and be able to help us win some games this year. But I go back to something that I mentioned right before this, Chase. The Titans wouldn't have approached Kevin Byard about a pay cut if Mike Vrabel wasn't on board with it. I don't believe that would happen.
That's a good one. I don't know.
Right? Because we talk about when Rand Carthon got hired. Our perception from the outside looking in is, okay, well, Vrabel has final say. New GM coming in. Amy Adams chose Vrabel over John Robinson. So, okay, Rand Carthon's coming in. Collaboration. But I don't believe they would go to Kevin Byard, somebody who means so much to this organization, the way Mike Vrabel speaks about him. I don't think they would approach him and ask him that if Vrabel wasn't okay with that.
I disagree because I think this is an Amy decision. I think Amy's looking at the books and going, hey, we got to cut some money. And because, I mean, well, all right, let me hold that thought because I got another one on that. I have a thought on that coming up next. If you want, let's give away some tickets real quick. Do you have a trivia question for the Preds there, Nicholas?
I can make one.
You can make one or something during the break. We'll do that. We'll give away the Three Doors Down tickets. I've kind of forgot about it. Sorry. We'll do that to wrap things up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser with you. The Preds have a game tomorrow. It'll be your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson, home of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the upcoming game, you'll win a pair of tickets to a Preds home game. Participate in Pick to Click tomorrow morning at 8:45 on Robbie and Rex Road. All right, real quick before we get to my Titans thought that I have let everybody wait on. For a second, a pair of tickets to see Three Doors Down at Ascend Amphitheater August 18th this year. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 o'clock. Nicholas Kieser, the reporter, has – welcome back, by the way. I know you were back last week, but you weren't on our show.
Yeah, well.
Good to have you back.
What is your trivia question?
All right, so yesterday Roman Josi was out, unfortunately. Still waiting to hear what that is. He has
– day-to-day.
What is discloses day-to-day upper body. But with him missing the game, there is one Nashville Predator that has played in every single game this year. Mm. Please call me and tell me who that player is.
615-737-1025, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see Three Doors Down at Ascend Amphitheater. So discussing the Titans and their direction, so to speak, with Byard, with Tannehill, with Henry – and a lot of different places that they could go. We got an interesting text on the text line during the break of when you look at the teams in the Super Bowl era, where would the Titans rank? They've been to three AFC championship games as the Titans, and I believe that was the first in the franchise. Off the top of my head, I mean, I know they lost that close game to Buffalo – as the Oilers in 93, but that was the divisional round, I believe. But
then obviously when they played in the Super Bowl the one year, and then recently 2019, right, when they played the Chiefs and lost.
They lost to the Raiders in 02. So
so a couple off the top of our hand, but essentially the texter texted in and said, if you rank all the teams in the league based on Super Bowls and conference championship games only over the Super Bowl era, where would the Titans Oilers be? They're closer to the bottom than the top. So maybe some of these decisions should not be surprising.
Yeah, and I mean, they're not. I mean, I think that's part of my kind of my attitude towards it all. And you know, getting to know Derek like I have over the course of, you know, the last decade. I mean, I obviously hear stories. I mean, I've gotten to know other guys, too, that have gone through it. And the Titans aren't the only team to cut veteran players to save money. That's a part of it. That's – unfortunately, the business aspect of everything. But it does kind of feel like that's where this organization, it gets to a point where they're like, I don't want to pay him anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we live in a world where the owner, you know, sometimes the owners will say, well, I want to go win a championship, but here's your budget. And you have to be like, okay, because yes, there is a salary cap number that you have to hit, but then there's a budget too. And so if she's like, hey, I want to compete, we're going to win and say all those things publicly and yada, 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 that's fine. But if there's a certain budget that she wants it at, that you're going to have to kind of play on the cheap, then you're going to get what you get. You get what you paid for. I like what they've done free agency wise.
I agree.
I think they're good moves. But this organization has never shown me that they're going to go out, you know, especially in free agency. You know, they might pay some of their own, but they've never shown me that they're going to go out and pay, overpay for a player. I can go back and think of Floyd signed Yancey Thigpen, which that didn't work out, but, and at the time that was a pretty big contract. But historically they don't do it a whole lot. And that's just that is the model that Bud Adams chose to live by. Now Amy Adams, I'll give her credit. She's done more than her dad did, on that stuff. And I don't think, her dad would be ponying up some of the money she is for this new stadium. He'd want, just like before, the city to pay for it. But I think it's something that certainly is on everybody's mind, and that's just kind of how it is.
Well, and I mean, we can even take the last 10 years, and I can't do this off the top of my head right now, but it's something we should look into. Like, in the last 10 years, what players have they given big contracts to? I mean, Taylor Lewan is one that I think of right off the bat. A potential. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is going to be a huge question mark on if.
Yeah, they make Kevin Byard the highest paid safety.
Kevin Byard, Ryan Tannehill, they traded for him, Derrick Henry, they gave him a big contract, but for a running back. But it would be interesting to look at like the big contracts that they gave and to what players. I mean, off the top of my head, only covering the team for the last couple of years, I can tell you the players they didn't give big contracts to. Right, who, and AJ Brown for one of them, a huge one that was a missed opportunity. Does that weigh into, was it the contract negotiations? Did they not just want to pay him the big contract? I mean, we've had the conversation, do they pay elite wide receivers, right?
The answer is no, they don't. I mean, and think about it. This team, as the Titans, has had two legitimate number one
caliber
awesome wide receivers. One is going to be on the air in about 7 minutes, and Derek Mason, and the other is AJ Brown. That's it. They've had good guys come. Yes, you can be like, well, they had Randy Moss for 5 games, and he didn't do anything, and he was past his prime.
Yeah,
I'm talking about in their prime.
Yeah, and I'm talking about players that. They've like their own guys that they've drafted and given big contracts to. So like a Taylor Lewan and AJ, a Jeffrey, because there's a couple people on the text line, like Bud Dupree. Okay, well, they got him on the free. They spent a lot of money, but he was like a free agent.
Paid big money to a receiver.
Yeah.
Never. I mean, they gave Derek a pretty good contract and then had to cut him. And, I'd have to go back and look what it was at the time and where it ranks. I mean, he got a good deal, but it wasn't like top dollar, for a receiver at the time. And so they get to that point where it's almost like they're just scared to pay it because they know that, look, the prime age of a skill player, the prime doesn't last very long.
Nope.
And so it's like, okay, I want to get the most bang for my buck. And that's just kind of how it is.
Well,
and that's why I think you'll never see fully guaranteed, like every contract in the NFL go fully guaranteed like you see in other sports.
Yeah, and to the Titans' credit quick, I mean, I don't think they've had too many great number one caliber wide receivers in between the time of those two. I mean, they haven't had the best luck at finding these wide receivers. But when a guy like Derek Mason or you get a guy like AJ Brown, you got to realize the fact that they're generational, and they need that contract to keep them in the league.
I think I just heard Derek walk in. Hey, Derek, do the Titans like to pay wide receivers? Survey says
Don't look at me, Derek. Don't look at me, Derek. Don't look at me, Derek.
On the banks of the Red Sea.
Hey, Sparty on. Sparty on.
Hey, and all college teams don't cheat. Michigan State doesn't cheat. Okay, I heard you this morning.
Okay. That's the dulcet tones.
Beg to differ. They all do.
Of Derek Mason, who they all
do.
Hear.
They might not get caught, but they all do.
Yes. Well, in the words of the late, great Eddie Guerrero, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
I love it.
And that's how we close things out today. It's going to be just Willie and D-Mace today. Caroline on vacation the next couple of days. But they are coming up next. They'll talk about the Titans, some of these new guys being introduced, the Predators as well. That's all ahead here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.